Bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah 17:10. The Word of God says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. I, the Lord, search the heart. What is the heart? The heart is the frame of reference. It's the frame of reference that we are constantly building. When you hear about the heart in the Bible, some scholars will define it like the emotional and motivational center of the soul. It's very weak. Really, the heart is the frame of reference. And the frame of reference is the starting point for everything that pertains to our lives. And so God searches my frame of reference. Because my frame of reference is built by what I put into it. It may be built by the Word of God. Hopefully it is built by the Word of God. Or it will be built by television. It will be built by worldly influences. It will be built by my magazines or books. It will be built by anything you want to put into it. The thing is that a large part of the frame of reference is affected by the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is the part of the mind that is not discriminatory. It takes in everything as though it were of an equal value on an equal plateau. And my frame of reference is built there. Now, my conscious mind influences my subconscious mind, certainly. My conscious mind is, if you will, the gatekeeper for my subconscious mind. My conscious mind makes the choices of what enters the subconscious mind. And those choices are, do I, you know, receive the word, respond in faith? Do I allow other things in? That is going to determine my frame of reference. My frame of reference will determine everything else about me. Now, God tries or examines, searches the heart. And then He tests the reins. Why? Because the reins will reflect what is in the subconscious mind's frame of reference. The reins reflect my frame of reference. The reins there is the word kiljar. And it is in the plural and it means emotions. Now, it is in the plural. That means that we have two sets of emotions. And for humanity, a lot of things are determined in twos, or come into two lungs, two kidneys. Right, two ears, two eyes. For people who are Christian and worldly, two brains, double-minded. And so we have these things that come in twos. Good and evil. Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. We have twos. We have two emotions. We have the right emotion and we have the left emotion. Now, in Job 16:13, the Word of God says that God cleaves the reins. He cleaves the reins. That means that He separates my emotions. In other words, He separates the right emotion from the left emotion. When God separates the emotions, and He will do this for all of us, and He does this continuously, we will live in one emotion or the other. We do not live in both emotions. Which emotion I live in is determined by my frame of reference. So I live in the right emotion or the left emotion. The right emotion is the emotion that responds to the soul. The left emotion is the emotion that responds to the Word. The Word of God is connected to the Holy Spirit, which is connected to the cross from which comes resurrection life. The right emotion is connected to the soul, which interacts and is connected to the old sin nature. The old sin nature is influenced by the world, and so is the soul. And the world is in the control of the evil one. Now, we are going to determine whether we live in the right or the left emotion on the basis of our frame of reference. That frame of reference is determined by what we take in. This is why the Word of God says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life." It's very easy to not guard my heart. It's very easy to take in the wrong information. It's very easy to get worldly. It's very easy to get mixed up and mixed into the world's crowd. It's very easy to get mixed into the world's entertainment system. It's very easy to get mixed into the world's thinking. When I don't guard my heart using my conscious mind, everything will be accepted into my subconscious mind. My subconscious mind builds that frame of reference. The frame of reference will send me to one emotion or the other. And so, I may live in the right or the left emotion. If I live in the right emotion, there are three things that are going to progressively take place. Now, these three things are a progression. I may not get to the third. I may not get to the second. But there is a progression of three stages, if you will, for those people who enter life in the right emotion. Keep in mind that the right emotion is the one that's attached to the soul, influenced and interacts with the sin nature, the world, the devil's initiations. That is through the right emotion. When a person sins, they very often sin in their right emotion. For example, lust is a sin of the right emotion. No matter what type of lust it is, can be sensual lust, can also be all the other lust patterns. Material lust, power lust, approbation lust, all these pride lust, okay, gossip lust. All these different lust patterns are emotional sins because a person is living in their right emotion. It's going to be very difficult for me to avoid living in some form of lust pattern if I'm living in my right emotion. If I worry a lot, if I fear, if I have anxiety, and these are not from organic causes. If I have depression that is not organic, then it's because I'm living in my right emotion. Now, men will go into living in their right emotion usually out of rebellion. Women will enter into their living in their right emotion usually out of weakness. I do say usually, not exclusively. But with men it's usually rebellion, with women it's usually weakness. This is why women in particular have to be careful, being designed to be responders, what they respond to. They have to use their conscious mind as a gatekeeper for what they allow into their subconscious mind. If they are not careful, being responders, they will accept very readily what is initiated to them. Now, when something is initiated to a woman, then she will either accept it, or she will react at it usually, or shut it down. Men, on the other hand, are not responders. Men are initiators. When a man lives in his right emotion, he initiates some form of pursuit. Perhaps it is pursuit of money. A lot of men have this problem. They say, okay, I'm middle-aged now. What have I done with my life? Where have I made the cash? Do I have the big house, big car to take care of my family? Am I able to send my kid to the Ivy League college? This is actually a man who's living in the right emotion. On the other hand, they may pursue other things. They may pursue recognition. A lot of men want, this is younger men in particular, through novice traits, want recognition. Especially younger men who are gifted will want recognition, and they start to pursue recognition. Lust patterns. If a man lives in lust patterns of a sensual nature, then he's going to start pursuing a woman. He's going to start initiating to her incorrectly. And he has no basis of a relationship from God there, but he is living in the emotions of his lust pattern. And so he finds a woman attractive, finds a reason why he may want to hook up with her, and he starts with the initiations, flirtation, close proximity that is like not of the right sort. Things that initiate. A woman needs to guard her heart when that happens, and if it happens, she needs to be like, okay, your distance, please. When a person enters into living in their right emotion, they're going to enter into emotional disturbances, and this is the first step. This is the first phase. A person enters into emotional disturbances. Their emotions become very reactionary. Their emotions become insecure. They're sick in their emotions. Things affect them very easily. Things upset them very easily. They're very easily swayed one way or the other through their emotions. And they are living in an emotional disturbance. This is that stuff like emotional fears, emotional anxieties, emotional insecurities. These are emotional disturbances. A person who lives in this emotional disturbance can get out of it very easily by thinking correctly with the Word of God. Now, it's not necessarily wrong thinking that gets them there. There are initiations of other sorts. But because the frame of reference is not well established in the Word, as initiated by the Holy Spirit, with a cross worked in by the Spirit through the Word. Remember, you don't have a cross by trying to have one. You have a cross by having one produced in you. When a person gets to this point, they can become a little bit unstable in their emotions. It doesn't take much to set them off. If that is not checked, if that is not corrected, then the person will enter into neurosis. Neurosis is a little bit more serious. Now, this is not the point of a mental illness. And again, I'm not talking about things that have organic causes. These type of things can have organic causes. I'm talking about Christians who do not have an organic condition which would cause these things. I'm talking about people who are otherwise healthy people who are experiencing these things. When a person enters into neurosis, they start to live in their emotions. What does that mean? That their decisions become a matter of their emotions. The emotions will dictate to them what their volition does. A person like this is going to be very easily deceived. A person like this is a person who's going to become very unstable. They will not be able to think properly. A person who is in this position is very easily swayed. They become very easily angry. They react very easy. It's very easy to offend someone who is living in neurosis. Someone who is living in neurosis always has the emotions as the standard for their life. How does it feel? It doesn't make me feel good. It's not of God. It makes me feel good. This is what God is bringing my way. A person like this will not accept a trial from God as being from God. A person like this becomes paranoid in their emotions. A person like this will withdraw. A person who is living in their emotions will frequently become very subjective. They'll become very familiar. You ever see somebody who's constantly not present when the Word of God is being preached on a continuous basis, and they could be, they're a healthy person, they're not at work or something, or they schedule work when the Word of God is being preached on purpose? This is a person who's living in an emotional condition. They're living in an emotional sin. Because the Word of God says, gather together much more as you see the day approaching. But the familiarity no longer allows stimulation of the emotions, which is what the person was looking for ahead of time. You ever see somebody, for example, who loved the Word of God, loved the message, loved the body when they first started out, but got familiar with it and it became very lackadaisical toward it? It lost its luster. That person is living in an emotional condition. When that takes place, they are in fact in a form of neurosis. People who can never see the good when it comes are living in a form of neurosis. God does something, God comes through in a beautiful way, and it's difficult for them to give the glory to God because they're living in neurosis. They say, okay, God did this, but I know the very next thing, He's going to slam me upside the head. That's neurosis. They can never have a victory when victory comes because they're living in neurosis. It's a dangerous place for a believer to live because that believer never experiences the fullness of what it means to be victorious and more than a conqueror in Christ. God has not established it this way. It is Satan who initiates a person living in their right emotions. This is what he did with Eve. Eve had an emotional disturbance. She was being plagued by a lust pattern. She wanted knowledge. She had a lust for knowledge. There are a lot of people like that. They lust for knowledge. Now, they don't operate in faith. They operate in the natural intellect based on the accumulation of information. If I get to this point, I'm not going to be a person for whom the Word of God produces peace. I'm going to be a person for whom the Word of God is a tool. I got to repair something. This is the Scripture. I got to repair something. This is the theology. I see something. This is the Scripture that applies to it. But it's never a faith issue. It's always a sight issue with a person like this. A person who lives in neurosis always walks by sight. And they won't be able to help that because this person is oriented within the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And remember, in the original language there, the good and the evil is not the issue. In the original language is the source of my understanding of what is good and what is evil, what is blessing and what is cursing. And the original language specifically points out that it is good and evil, blessing and cursing, as estimated by the natural thinking as it relates to what I can see and what I can hear. So it's always in a self-conscious mentality. And the right emotion is the emotion of self-consciousness. So that person is always going to be short of victorious in their practical experience. Something happens and it will devastate their emotions. Somebody says something to them and it crushes them. Something comes their way, a trial comes and it incapacitates them. Because they are living in the right emotion that is responding to the soul, which is interacting with the sin nature of the world, and that is, of course, under the influence of the devil. Victory is available, but it never comes when I live in the right emotion. If the right emotion progresses far enough, it will lead to psychosis. A person who enters into psychosis is a person who lies and starts to believe their own lie. They don't know they're lying. They no longer have a grasp of what is real and what is not. Reality is a subjective condition to a person like this. And their misperception of circumstances dictates to them what reality is. When you get that, you get somebody, for example, you say something and they hear something totally different. That can also be neurosis, but it can also be psychosis. They see something, that something happens, and their perception of it is very different than the actual event itself. Their kid gets a flu, and all of a sudden the kid is dying. The kid's not dying, the kid's got the flu. Give him a week and a half and he'll be perfectly fine. But in their mind, the kid is now dying. Paranoia sets in when there is psychosis. And nothing can be actually interpreted as it actually is. Because they've entered into a reality that's subjectively based. Because the wrong frame of reference is used to interpret basically everything. The Word of God is not this person's mind. Subjectivity is this person's mind. They can't operate in the promises of God because the promises of God to them are not reachable. Or when they do operate in the promises of God, it's always in some form of negative application. In other words, they don't receive the promises that God will come through. They'll take the promise that God deals harshly with the wicked and apply that to themselves. They do not actually live in reality. On the other hand, there is the left emotion. The left emotion is something that I have as a born-again believer. Every born-again believer has a left emotion. That is part of what was born anew. An unbeliever has only the right emotion. But the born-again believer has a birth of a human spirit. The left emotion is connected to that human spirit. The human spirit receives the Word of God from the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit imparts that Word produces a cross in that person. A cross is what Pastor Stevens and others have called theatric action. When I have a cross operating in my life, I am operating in theatric action. What does theatric action mean? It means that the things that are natural, the things that are of the old nature, the things that are of the old sin nature, those are pushed aside. Now, they can never be eradicated until I go home to be with the Lord, because they are a physical part of my body. It's passed on in my DNA, and it's a physical part of my body. This is why we have the Adamic nature as our sin nature. It was through Adam's fall that our sin nature came. When I live through the Word of God, as it's imparted by the Holy Spirit, when that cross is produced in me by the Word of God, I start to live in my left emotion. I start to enter a place where the world's influences, where trials and testings do not rob me of my peace. I don't live in overwhelming fear. Now, it doesn't mean that I stop being human. It means that my emotions are responding to something new. Remember, the emotions can only respond. The emotions cannot initiate anything. They can only respond. The mistake that I make as a believer is when my volition starts responding to the responder rather than initiating to it. In other words, I don't live in the response of my emotions, and I don't base my decisions on that. I live with the initiation of the Word to my mind, and my mind controls my emotions. And so when I take in the right thing, when the conscious mind, as a gatekeeper to the subconscious mind, allows the Word in and rejects other influences, that it allows the Word of God in, allows the promises of God in, allows in the character of God, when that takes place, I start to live in that left emotion as an overcomer. A person who is defeated is invariably defeated in their emotions. And because the emotions dictate the standard of their lives, they are not able to overcome the defeat, because you can never overcome your standard. Now, I just gave you a $10,000 sentence. You get a hold of that one, you've saved yourself a boatload of money in counselors and psychologists. A person can never overcome their standard. So if my standard is determined by things apart from the Word, it will be impossible for me to become an overcomer. If my standard is determined through my frame of reference by the Word of God as it is initiated by the Holy Spirit, not the Logos, the Rhema. And for those on the internet who might not know what I'm talking about, Logos is the spoken Word of God. The Rhema is the illuminated Word of God from the Holy Spirit. In other words, I'm listening to a message, I'm reading my Bible, I'm meditating on something in His Word, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit illuminates that to my life. That is what Jesus said in Matthew 4:4 that we are to live by. He said, Rhema, as He said, man is to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That word for word in the original language is not Logos, it's Rhema. So I live by the Word of God as it is brought to me and illuminated for my life by the Holy Spirit. If I am passive, if I am familiar towards the Word of God, then I've gotten to the place where Satan wants me to entrap me in my right emotion. You ever meet somebody who thinks the Word of God is boring? They are a person who's become familiar through the right emotions activity, but it was ultimately Satan's initiation. So when a person becomes familiar, when a person becomes dull, they're living in that right emotion. I mean, really think about it. What is the difference? They were always living in their right emotions, perhaps, or they could have entered in, but at one time the word was fulfilling. At one time the word was rich. At one time receiving the word of God was edifying. But because of that life in the right emotion, which brought in that familiarity, that dullness, that passivity, it's no longer fulfilling, it's no longer edifying, it's almost like eating sand. Why? They're living in an emotional condition. And they are responding to the emotion, and they're evaluating the message, evaluating the body, evaluating body life, evaluating the word, evaluating everything in that right emotion. That right emotion is dictating to them their life. Pride swells up in the right emotion. And they will then start to elevate themselves above the word and say, the word does not work for me. The word doesn't really have my answers. I heard it, but it just isn't doing anything for me. Why? Because it's received in the right emotion. It's not received in the left emotion. In other words, it's received in that part which is influenced by the soul. Remember, there are six parts of the soul: the mind, emotions, conscious, self-consciousness, and volition. But the soul is the part of us that interacts with the world, with worldly thinking, with self-orientation. On the other hand, if I receive the Word of God in my left emotion, that means my human spirit is fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to, and I never try to, fellowship with the Holy Spirit in my soul. In other words, I don't try to fellowship with Him through an emotional response. Now, there may be an emotional response, but there is no basis for that fellowship in the emotions. The fellowship may produce an emotional response. A person who is fellowshipping with God is doing so through the human spirit. Now, keep in mind, we said the human spirit is connected to the left emotion. If my emotions are healthy, according to the Word of God, it's because I'm living in the left emotion. If my emotions are unhealthy, according to the Word of God, it's because I'm living in the right emotion. How many people react when the preacher says, and many preachers say this, don't live in your emotions, and they react to it. How am I supposed to not live in my emotions? Well, live in the left emotion, not in the right emotion. Live in the emotions that are initiated and dictated by God's initiation of His Word to your heart, not the soul's initiations of whatever. Lust patterns, old sin nature, world, whatever. At that point, if I'm in that right emotion, I'm going to have a very difficult time with pretty much everything. I'm going to start reacting at pretty much, if the pastor says something and all of a sudden I react at it. No reason to, I just didn't like that. They're living in their right emotion. The Word of God says something, I don't like that part of the Word of God. They're living in the right emotion. We live through the Word in our left emotion. We are going to live in one or the other because we are human beings. We don't have the option. The emotions are an intrinsic part of our condition, and it is not wrong to have emotions. Jesus had emotions. However, which emotion I live in, that's another story. If I'm someone who's living in the right emotion, I will have a very difficult time being right with God, although I may be religious. Much of religion is out of the right emotion. Why are people outwardly religious? Well, in many cases, It's because they want the feeling of being right with God. Well, I've got news for you. Whether you're right with God or not doesn't produce a feeling. It may, but it may not. I get up in the morning and I read my Bible, and that's the thing you really want to do. But it doesn't make me feel super spiritual. It may, because my left emotion may be in responding to that, but it may not. It's not about the feeling that I'm living in. It's about what God said. When I live in what God said, I may get the feelings, but I may not. If I get them, though, they'll be in the left emotion. They'll be regulated by the left emotion. Now, feelings and emotions are not entirely the same. They are connected, but they're not the same thing. Emotions are responses. Feelings are a mood. So I may have a response, and I may have no mood that comes out of it. If I'm living in faith responses to God, it's because I'm living in my left emotion. If I'm living being edified by the Word of God, it's because I'm living in my left emotion. If I'm living edified by the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is the Holy Spirit is pouring through, not the body of Christ through natural rapport, through personality rapport, which can happen. But if the life of God and the Word of God is flowing in my fellowship with the body, and that doesn't mean that I have to spout scriptures, that means that I have a quality of life within that relationship. If that is flowing and it edifies me, it's because I'm living in the left emotion. On the other hand, you may find somebody who is like, they like certain members of the body of Christ, but not others. That person's boring. That person's dull. That person's not fun. They're living in the right emotion. When God said, love one another as I have loved you, so also you love one another, He's saying, live in the left emotion's response to what I initiate to you. And then allow it to flow out of you. He is not saying, have a feeling. So this is one of the problems, and young people in particular make this mistake. They think that love is a feeling. Love is not a feeling. A feeling may be produced by it, but it may not. Love is actually very objective and in some ways kind of cold. What they're often thinking about is not love, but some form of appreciation, some form of affection. Now often there will be affection and appreciation attached, but there certainly doesn't need to be. Jesus, I find it remarkable how kind Jesus was to Judas Iscariot at the Last Supper. Not just throughout their entire time together, but at the actual Last Supper, after He had initiated to him that he was the betrayer, that he was the one who was possessed of the devil. And then in the garden, Judas comes and kisses Jesus. And what does he call? He calls him friend. He says to him, friend. Why? Jesus was living in his left emotion. He was not living in his right emotion. He was living in his left emotion. This is why Abraham could sacrifice Isaac. Because he was living in his left emotion. The left emotion is the part of me that allows me to have faith responses. How many people would say, I would not trade you, not even for God? I got news for you. You're living in the right emotions. They'll say that to their children often. I would not trade you, not even for God. I've heard that one before. That's the right emotion. That's the right emotion. How many parents are unable to keep order in their home because they're too sentimental to the kids? The kid says, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. And they fold like a leaf. That's the right emotion. No, we live in the left emotion. We live in the left emotion. When that happens, the kid says, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. They're being a brat, and you know it. And you know what? The kid knows it too. You don't respond to that because it says, okay, now I have a way to control you. So my old sin nature, as it's going rampant, has a way to control your life. And now my little old sin nature is just delighted. Because I can not only control you, I can control the whole family. I get whatever I want. Because a parent is living in their right emotion. But parents who live in their left emotion, they're not responding to their kid. They're responding to the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. They're not looking at what their kid is doing. They're looking at what God is initiating for their kid. This is a person who's able to live in objectivity and hear from God for the circumstance in their home. Why? They're living in the left emotion. The Word of God is dictating their frame of reference, and that frame of reference allows them to live in that correct emotion. How many people have issues with lust patterns? Young people, how many of you have, don't raise your hand, how many of you have issues with lust patterns? I'll tell you one thing, most young people do. And I'm not looking at anybody in particular. It's on the internet. The vast majority of young people have trouble with lust patterns. Why? Because they have not yet learned to live in the left emotion in a faith response to the Word of God. For them to talk about sex is overwhelming. Because it is in the right emotion. It's not in the left emotion. You could have the same conversation in the left emotion and be perfectly fine. Because you're not responding to the old sin nature's initiations through lust pattern. You're responding in the mind of Christ in the reality of what God had designed. So you never enter into a life of a right emotion. Now, that being said, we all do. All of us go there. What happens when I go into the right emotion? There is a way that I can very quickly be taken back to the left emotion. I receive the Word with academic discipline in my mind, purposing to mix faith with it, in other words, receive it and accept it as reality, and I meditate on it. I cast down the imaginations that would trip me up in my right emotions. You see, here's the catch to that though. That takes mental discipline. A mind that is not disciplined will naturally tend toward the right emotion. Why? Because the right emotion is produced by the physical things that are in me. And it responds to the physical things that are in me. Let's say you have somebody, a young person, men and women both. Young men and women both have these hormone storms. But that does not have to be what determines my thinking. It just makes it easier to have it determine my thinking. What? No discipline required. If I'm going to live in my left emotion, particularly as a young person, I'm going to need some mental discipline. This, especially in this culture, where this culture is trying to pummel a person with every form of ungodly message available. And you know what? Young people are actually directly targeted by that message. Look at television. Look at the advertisements that are out. Don't look at them, but you know what I'm saying. Consider that. Well, these are targeted toward young people particularly, unless you're buying a Cadillac or something. They're targeted at for young people in particular. Why? Because they know that they can take advantage of that right emotion. They know they can take advantage of those lust patterns. Take a look at a billboard that advertises cigarettes. How many of those people are young, fun-looking, good-looking, and they just look like you'd have a blast with them? They're also usually looking like they're a little bit not on the entirely pure side. Why is that? They're targeting lust patterns. They're targeting lust patterns so that people will live in that right emotion in those lust patterns and buy their cigarettes. It doesn't have to be just that. It's all kinds of stuff in the world. But that's just one example. The world targets us, and so does Satan, in the right emotions. That's what he did with Eve. Satan went for her right emotion. Eve, you can be as God. By the way, that word there is, I used to think that was as angels. No, that was, he's talking plural gods as the Trinity. The word there is Elohim. You can be as God. How do I know that the word there is the Trinity and not the angels? Because the angels did not respond that way. The angels would not walk by sight. And she knew that, because she was taught the word. See, he's targeting the right emotion. I take in the word of God with academic discipline. People who are overwhelmed by lust patterns who receive the word of God usually don't have academic discipline in their mind. What does discipline in my mind do? It causes me to cast down imaginations and high things that exalt themselves above the Word. If I have discipline in my mind, that's not a problem. If I don't have discipline in my mind, that becomes an issue. And I live in that Word. When I live in the Word through the left emotion, I become an overcomer. In the left emotion, it's extraordinarily easy to trust God's promises. Say that you're in a very difficult situation and the outcome looks impossible for you, like this young lady in the hospital. The outcome looks absolutely impossible for you, but you're living in your left emotion. It is not an issue, although you may feel regret, you may feel trepidation of a form that you might lose this person, but it will never become a self-oriented thing. A person who lives in that left emotion can very confidently and boldly come to the throne of grace in their time of need. And they have full confidence and expectation that God will come through for them. What if God doesn't come through for them? What if the person dies? Had God not come through for them? Let's say that I got somebody in the hospital and I'm praying and they're very ill and they die. And I say, God, did He not come through for you? Well, it depends if you're living at the left or right emotion. See, at the right emotion, the condition of the situation will be such that it will be very hard for me to accept God's reality. But God's reality says that we are eternal, we are not temporal. That the person has not died, they moved. That New Jerusalem is a physical, real, tangible place. And God simply said, it is my will, it is my call for you now to go to New Jerusalem. That person has not died, and they are no longer sick. And you will see them again if you are a believer, and they will return with Christ. They are in a physical place and you could physically see them if God pulled back the curtain. And there are people who have. People who God brought to heaven and then they were resuscitated by the doctors. They are still there. They are still alive and they're healthy. They just received a call from God and now they are moving on to the next step of their call. And that can happen. So my prayer was answered, just not in the form that I necessarily preferred in my right emotion. I'm not saying that it's wrong for me to desire healing for someone. I'm saying that I have to approach that in the correct emotion. We live by every word. When I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, when I live by that rhema, that illumination of that word, and that's what he means there, then my emotions are very healthy. Now remember, I said my mood and my emotions are not the same thing, albeit they are connected. I may completely trust and have complete confidence in the fact, for example, that a loved one had gone to New Jerusalem, to heaven, and still be very sorrowful. And that is not sin. But it is not the kind of sorrow that is without hope. It's the kind of sorrow where I lament separation, but not loss. I don't have a sense of loss. I have a sense of separation. On the other hand, in the right emotion, in a circumstance like that, I'll tend to have a sense of loss. It's not a sense of despair. It's a sense of longing. And the longing is a longing for reconciliation with a loved one. That longing for reconciliation only comes because I have a confidence that they are in fact still there, just at a different address in a different city from which I'm living now. There's very little difference there between, let's say, living in Baltimore or living in Denver. I can't see them, okay, let's say living there in the 1950s. I can't talk to them. I can't see them, but I know that they are still there, just in a different city. And I may know that maybe in a few years I'm going to move to Denver also, and so I'll have a longing and a looking forward to mentality rather than a mentality of defeating despair. The fact that I'm living in my emotions doesn't always mean that I'm going to be happy per se. But it does mean that I'll have the joy of the Lord. Christ wept and still had joy. And so I'm not talking about a superficial mood. I'm talking about a response. And in that left emotions, the responses are correct. And when I live in that left emotion, faith responses are the result. See, there's the progression. Left emotion produces faith rest. Faith rest produces faith responses. Faith responses produce the just living by faith. And so I live in the trust of God's Word through the left emotion, and I experience the fullness of being an overcomer. Because the same situation that may have wiped me out last year, yesterday, now, because I'm living in that left emotion, simply causes me to draw near to God. And now I overcome. Amen?